All right, welcome to The Deep End. My name is Travis Tilton. I'll be your host every week, maybe, probably. We'll see. This week I'm speaking with Josiah, our youth / worship minister. I put the little slash. I used my hand to make that slash. I know you can't see it because we're on a podcast, but imagine me with my hand making a slash like a karate chop. That's what I did after I said worship / youth minister. So, now that you've got that mentally ingrained into your mind, thank you for choosing us and thank you for listening to us. And today we're going to be covering Chris's sermon last week on facing our giants. So if you haven't listened to it yet, go ahead and hit stop. Go back onto the podcast that you most desire and listen to his podcast first, or listen to his sermon first, because it is amazing. So, and then come back here and listen to us again. So we will see you at the end of this song. Said I have Josiah. Josiah, nice to see you.
Hey, nice to see you too, Travis. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, absolutely. I am glad to be here. I am glad to have you here. And we are going to dive in to the deep end. See what I did there with the dive?
Yeah, I can't swim.
You can?
I'm sorry. Yeah, I can swim just fine.
Okay, that's so sad. That is so sad. All right, so Josiah, tell me a little bit about yourself. Like, where did you, how'd everything start for you?
Everything in terms of...
I don't know, like, however, go as far back as
you're
comfortable.
Yeah, I guess, I mean, spiritually, I became a believer at age 15 in high school after I was... I spent a lot of childhood without my dad. My dad wasn't in the home.
Mm-hmm.
Came to know Jesus through youth group, through my friend Andy. Just kept, you know, teaching Jesus. I mean, every time he got a chance to talk about Jesus, he did. And he taught me how to read the Bible, how to pray, how to experience God. So it was just a really good time. High school, went through all of that and through college. And then after that, started about a year. Actually, I was actually hadn't graduated college yet and actually started here while I just waited to graduate. So, So been here for just over 3 years.
Wow, great job.
Doing this.
So you said you went to what college?
Grace College.
Grace College, that is in...
Winona Lake, Indiana.
That's exactly what I was going to guess.
Yep.
No, not at all. I have no idea where that is, but that's great. So so how's your journey been? Like, how have you grown over the last 3 years since you've come into TLC?
Yeah, I mean, you talked about this sermon a lot this week. I mean, I think being underneath Chris's leadership, both as a pastor and, of course, I get, you know, a different aspect of him being my boss and getting to see him every day. But just getting to, I don't know, the realness of him in everyday life has been great. His constant trying to point me towards Jesus, constantly trying to see me grow. I mean, honestly, a lot of times letting me fall flat on my face and then just laughing and saying, okay, how'd you screw that one up? You know, it's been a really good, I don't know, process with him. And then, of course, being married brings about a lot of, you know, growth and maturity and change and teaches you a lot. And, you know, we've had Liam now, our first son, for a year. And that also, yeah, thank you. Which is why we're kind of whispering, Liam's in the next room asleep. So, yeah. So, keep it quiet out there, audience. Don't want to wake up the baby.
That's funny because they have no... They can't do anything about that. So I'm sure they've already figured that out.
Yeah, and so he's been here for a year, and so that's been getting to have a child of your own, and then that obviously brings a lot of growth as well. So it's been, I don't know, a big process for us.
Awesome. Well, I don't know if everyone is listening to this has known this, but you got a very good opportunity this past December to go to Papua New Guinea, which is where your wife is from.
Yep.
So tell us a little bit about that. Have you ever gone outside of the United States?
Yeah, I've been outside of the country. One other time I went to Ukraine and Romania.
Oh, wow.
That was in high school. But we went back for about a 3-week period to Papua New Guinea. It's where my wife grew up. I got to go see the village, live village life, which was pretty radical, man. No electricity, no running water. You know, it's about as dreamy as they make it sound. So
right.
You know.
So your wife, Emma, she grew up there. Her parents were missionaries there. So did she just hit the ground running when you got there and just started
She hopped off the plane and we were on a little 6-seater jet, flies you into the village, and that's the only way really in and out of the village. Unless you're willing to walk, you know, 3 days journey, 3 or 4 days journey. So a little 6-seater plane dropped us off and we hit the ground and she just started talking. The language they speak is Kubo. There's all of 7, you know, white men who can speak Kubo.
Wow.
It's Emma's 5 family members and the 2 missionaries there before her. So it's not a pretty known language. So fluently, you know, she spoke it, you know, no problem. She landed and, you know, she could just speak it. So I didn't really have much need to try to really learn much. So I didn't, you know, try to communicate. There were, you know, probably 5 or 6 people there who spoke enough English to convey, you know, a point, not enough to have a good conversation with, but, you know, enough English to really convey what they wanted to say. So I talked to them a little bit, but it was mostly just watching her talk and, I mean, having my jaw on the ground of I've never seen her do this before. And here she is, a wife, you know, I've been married to her for 3 years and I've never seen this from her. So it was kind of cool.
That's great. All right. Well, that's extremely amazing to hear. So next let's go ahead and jump into David and Slaying the Giant.
Yeah.
All right, so now we're going to go ahead and dig into David going up against Goliath, the sermon series, the Facing Your Giants, 5, 6, 12 weeks long.
Something like that.
Yeah, okay. About 5, 6 weeks long. I'm really excited about this series, especially after listening to the first one.
Yeah.
I think that Chris has really hit the nail on the head with this series, so I'm really excited about it. What about you, Josiah? What were your overarching thoughts on it?
Yeah, I'm excited about it. You know, I was, thankful to be part of the team that, you know, was talking about how we wanted to do this series, and there were so many different ways we could go with it, you know, with the series. What kind of giants do we want to focus on? Do we want to focus on the giants? Do we want to focus on the battle? What do we want to focus on? And just the tension of, you know, we want to hit, you know, real-life situations with people, which Chris obviously did, you know, especially when he started out, you know, naming these things, you know, that are giants in your life, you know, debt, divorce, you know, just different things that people, you know, just devastating people in our area and in our church. And so he didn't, you know, we wanted to get a good job of, how can we really, you know, address issues that our people genuinely have, but how do we also remember that it's, so much of this is about the winner of the battle and not always so much on the battle, or especially the enemy.
Right.
So much of this is about the conqueror, Jesus. So I think it was just a fun balance to kind of figure out how do you go forward, and I think Chris really unpacked that and really, you know, fixed their eyes on Jesus. Jesus, the slayer, the giant slayer.
And as you said, at the very beginning, when he just started naming, cancer, death, and kept going over and over again, you know when Chris is, ready to be a very, very lighthearted and very, we're going to have fun this series. Yay. And those are great as well. But as soon as he said cancer and he started listening,
I think
all
the
these
first
terrible
word
things
in the sermon.
Yeah. He went straight into it cancer. And I was like, whoa. So that's going to be, that was really fun. I mean, not fun, but the fact that you know, the tone that he's going to set for the next 6 weeks, straight from that, it's going to be very interesting to see. Yeah. Where we dig into.
Yeah, definitely. It's definitely exciting to look into the different areas we can dig into and different things he's addressed. different things you brought up, you know, different points. Yeah, I'm excited to see what where he goes with a lot of this.
Right. And it's very interesting that like, just the story of David versus Goliath, the entire story of David is just absolutely amazing to me as well, because David is this nobody from a nobody family that King Samuel, right?
Not king. No. He's kind of like a prophet, pretty
right,
much.
Yeah. That Samuel goes through and, like, just happens to go upon this family, and the entire family's, like, trying to show them, like, the best side of them, and David's out in the back like Cinderella, not even a part of the actual thing, and all the stepbrothers, the evil stepsisters, are shoving their foot in Samuel's face, saying, "Hey, pick me," and, like, they're like, "No, that this David guy is the one that we want, and it's not by the outwardly appearance, but what's inside." Really shows that anyone that has the heart to be able to move forward to really do anything that they want with God, as long as what they want is godly. But yeah, and so let's dig a little bit deeper into that. Like, what I loved, what Chris said was, we've raised some of our own giants. Sometimes it's not just this Goliath that we run into, it's these Goliaths that we've raised that used to be like this little small little fun thing that we did, and all of a sudden it's grown and now it's overpowering you, and it's something that you're not able to control.
With the youth group, Amplify, we just talked Sunday night a little bit about this, and we're walking through the gospel, and one of the things we got to is when Jesus in John 3 is talking to Nicodemus, he's talking about walking in the light versus walking in the dark, and you know, we played an activity with the kids, and the students, and they were spread out in this room by the end of this activity, and I said, "Hey, look, guys, we're given different situations," which is true, we're given different situations in life, and so some of that we can't control, but we always get the option in each situation. Are we going to take a step closer to Jesus and what God wants for us, or are we going to take one step closer in the darkness? And so many times, whether it's by, you know, just sheer choice, we're going to walk to darkness, or we haven't met Jesus yet, we're not open to the light.
Right.
We definitely, you know, build up for us these giants by continually and slowly, you know, walking in darkness. At first, it's not as dark. Maybe it's gray.
Mm-hmm.
And the room slowly gets dimmer and dimmer until we find ourselves in these situations. Where it's just we find ourselves facing a giant. We flip on the light, and there he is. You know, we didn't know he was there, and now he's there, and he's ugly.
Right, yeah. I mean, I've gone through that plenty of times myself, that I think that, like, this one little thing in my life is something that I can control, and I'm able to do whatever I want because it's not that really big of a deal. And then over time it becomes bigger and bigger, and I still look at it as that small little thing, like it's not really a big problem. And then all of a sudden it just blows up in my face and it's completely taken over my life, and it's a Goliath that at that point I have no control over, and I'm not able to slay him myself.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I kind of went through, I guess, kind of this process pretty recently. One of the giants for me, one of the things I've definitely brought in myself, a lot of people don't know, I preached about it the last time I preached was like a year ago, which I'm still kind of offended at y'all, like I preached and then you're like, "Hey, you know, we don't really want that Josiah guy up there again, so I don't know what I did to you guys, but hey, now you have to deal with me on the podcast," so, but when I preached, I talked about this a little bit, that's this video game addiction. I didn't really know I had it about 2 years ago for Awakening. I was thinking about what I wanted to give up, and the year before we did something food-related, and frankly, it wasn't that hard to give up food. It wasn't something that, that I really worshipped or really got in the way of my relationship with God, so I kind of prayed and said, "All right, God, what's the biggest thing stopping me from spending time with you?" And I was like, "Man, I play a lot of video games." So I decided... I'm going to, you know, for these 3 weeks, I'm going to give up video games. And I lasted about 15 days. Then I got the flu. And when you're sick at home and you have the flu, you really justify these things pretty easily. You know, you're like, oh, man, I'm sick. You know, I can do what I want. You know, oh, man, you know, what am I going to do, read the Bible all day? You know, so I started playing video games on day 15 of the fast. I kind of kept it a secret and, you know, would tell everybody, hey, I finished this fast. I did fine. I fasted from video games. And then, it was later that spring. We were talking about different things at youth group, and I read an article getting ready to talk, you know, to the youth about different things that they deal with. They wanted to have a series on things that, you know, are applicable to them.
Right.
And so I was like, okay, well, we'll talk about social media and video games and things like that. And so I read articles upon articles of video game stuff, and I don't remember exactly what it said, but one article in particular said, you know, if you have these five signs, you really could suffer from video game addiction. And I just read through them, and by the fourth one, I was just in tears. And I said, oh, man, this is me. You know, I can't separate video game life from real life. You know, the whole entire time I'm going through real life, I'm thinking of playing video games. I don't have the ability to, you know, when I'm doing something, all I can think about is, oh, I want to go back and play this game. I play this game to when, you know, more stressful things come up in my life. I don't run to God. I run to video games. And so that really started to come, and I realized about that spring that was an addiction. And so I did what every good person would do, is just say, okay, well, I'm just going to stop doing it.
Right.
And cut it out of my life, which worked for a few months. And then that turned into, you know, people around me were happy. Hey, you got rid of video games. Good. To me going, okay, yeah, cool. They're proud of me. To going, okay, I can play a little bit and they won't notice. And I can play a little bit more and they won't notice. And, you know, 6 months later, you know, I'm back to where I was before.
Mm-hmm.
Awakening hit the next year, and I said, all right, I'm going to give it up again. That didn't happen. That didn't happen at all. I made it about 6 or 7 days into that one before I said, you know, screw this, man. I'm playing video games all I want. I'm not giving this up.
Right.
And so then it really hit me this last spring, going into summer, where I was playing a lot of video games, and it was getting to the point that I was playing while I should have been working office time, and the stress of having to be, not having to be, but the stress of having a baby in the house, of not having a wife who works, just a lot of that, you know, was starting to weigh on me, and, you know, I ran to video games, so that affected, obviously, ministry. Travis is a part of my worship team, and him and Lynn, you know, came up and were like, hey, something's going on, what can we do to help you? Little did they know, I didn't want help. I was in the middle of giving into this, you know, this, I was like the Israelites, man. I was like, oh, this giant's out there, but, you know, I kind of enjoyed it, you know, at that point, and then it wasn't too much later until, you know, Chris and a couple of the elders really hit me on it and said, hey, we know this is going on. What do we got to do? You know, what do we got to do to break this of you? And
right.
That was just really, you know, just an ugly time of life. So, yeah,
that was... I need to tie it into what we're talking about here with David. David goes up to the Israelites and is like, what's this idiot tall guy doing over there, like, talking bad about us? He's over there, like, making us really look bad. Like, we look bad right now. And he's like, why hasn't someone just gone over there and killed him? That guy's a loser. He doesn't even have God on his side. And
yeah, David.
It's not doing anything. And that's kind of like how... It seemed like, just with me, I was like, Josiah, what's going on? Like, it was one of those things, I looked at you and I'm like, Josiah, you can beat this. Like, you can, whatever you're going through, I didn't even know what you're going through. I just could tell something was up.
Yeah.
And so I was like, man, we can beat this. And that's when I was like, hey, let's beat it together. Let's do whatever it is. And luckily here at TLC, we have an amazing support staff. Like, if there's anything that anyone's going through, there's always someone there that's going to be able to pick us up. And I think that really shines through, especially with this sermon series. I think that if we're too afraid to face our own giants, it's not like we're going to do it alone. We have our entire church to go with, and we have Jesus on our side, and we're going to be able to beat it. That battle's already won.
Yeah, I mean, so that was in the middle of it. You know, it was during this brokenness phase where You know, we got rid and set up systems so I couldn't get my video game of choice to be on the computer. So we set up systems so I couldn't get a hold of that game.
Mm-hmm.
And so, man, I just went to the next best and, you know, okay, well, I'm going to just buy a TV and buy a system. To where I went through this period where I was getting ready to walk out of the door, tell my wife I'm going to go in and work on work tonight. And I was on my way to go buy a system. And, you know, I just felt God hitting me saying, you know, hey, you need to go show these emails to your wife. And so I did. I just walked over and just showed her these emails. And it was just a really dark time. But during this phase, and I've even been listening to it now, there's this song by Elevation called Do It Again. The one line in there is, you know, I'm waiting for change to come, knowing the battle is won. And then the bridge says, I've seen you move the mountains, and I believe I'll see you do it again. And I just remember that night just crying out to God, yelling at him, like, mm-hmm. All right, you've done this, you know, but why is it still here? Why is it still a thing? Right. Can't you just take it away? And I was just really mad. You know, I'm ready for this thing to just be gone. Mm-hmm. I'm ready for this thing to go away. And it wasn't. And, you know, we just went through that battle, and just through the middle of it of, okay, how do I, you know, rely on other people, things right. God given me, but how do I also develop a heart that seeks God? You know, how do I wake up and spend time with God every day? How do I want what God has for me more than what video games have for me? So those were definitely things I had to, you know, I had to look at and realize. David walks up, you know, like you said, David walks up to the Philistine camp bringing his brother's food and sees the giant. He's just like, are you guys serious? Like, which one of you is going to go out there and kill him? Like, come on. Like, he's got to die. Just somebody go out there and do it. And, right. You know, everybody's like, well, we're too, you know, we're not going to do that, you know. David's like, all right, fine. Give me, like, I'll do it. Send me out there. I'll go do it. So, like, God's going to do this. Doesn't matter. Like, just let me do it. You know, who cares? Type, you know, attitude. And so, for me, it was really realizing, okay, who's going to do this? Okay, it's not going to be me.
Right.
It's not going to be me who does this. It's going to be a lot of people who I can rely on. It's going to be a lot of Jesus stepping up and giving, you know, he's put a lot of people around me to help me with this stuff, to rely on the church. And that's one of the things he's created us to do, is depend on one another. So for me, it was looking around and saying, okay, who's going to do it? For me, it wasn't, I'm going to do it. I can't do it. I've been trying to do it for 2 years. It hasn't worked out very well. So it was really trying to look and figure out who's going to do this. And of course, Jesus already slayed that, already beat sin on the cross, and beat addiction on the cross. But in a sense, you know, you can chop off the head of a snake, but it's still deadly. And I just chose to keep stepping on that head.
Right.
So I needed some people around to help me bury that. So.
Well, and like the thing is, like once you finally defeat, and you told me earlier, like you haven't played any video games for how long?
I'm at 2 months. I was right before Papua New Guinea. I didn't play enough, of course. You know, you don't have electricity, you can't play.
It's a little hard, yeah.
Yeah, it's a little bit hard. So I've got, you know, a couple, I guess you can call them games or card games on my iPad. I play those when I'm, you know, dropping the deuce.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know.
Of course, yeah. I mean, you got to do what you got to do. I understand that. But, yeah, but as soon as, like, a lot of people think, like, hey, I defeated my Goliath, now I can just sit here and wait. And everything is good from here on out. And we know, because we're human and we live lives, that's not always the case. There's always a another Goliath. There's another giant waiting around the corner. As Goliath, he had brothers and sisters.
Yeah.
He had other people that just as tall, just as strong as him. And it even says, David says that he took the staff in his hand, chose 5 smooth stones from the stream, put them in the pouch of his shepherd's bag, and with his sling in his hand approached the Philistine. Those 5 stones weren't because he thought that he was going to miss. He was extremely confident in what he was doing. He knew that he was going to be able to take him down with 1 stone. But it's also preparing yourself and knowing, like, because I brought down this one giant, I have to be prepared for the next one. That way he doesn't have as much of a stranglehold on me as the next one. And I think that was really, that's really key. Like, just because one giant's gone doesn't mean that you're not going to face another one. And you can't get disheartened when you do face another one. You just have to be ready to battle it just like you battled the last one.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
And honestly, like, that's the big thing is we can't do this alone. We need each other, and we need Jesus. He's the one that slays the giant. We're the ones that are the Israelites cowering in the corner waiting for someone else to do that job.
Yeah, I'm gonna, I just want to encourage listeners, people who are listening to this, go ahead and start writing out. You know, even if you listen back to Chris's sermon, he gives a list of giants, but, you know, even write out your own.
Mm-hmm.
Be specific in ways it's tormenting you. Be specific in the insults. Goliath was pretty specific on what he yelled at David and the rest of the Israelites. You know, write out ways that this this giant is insulting you, is really taking the glory from God, is really insulting God. And then take some time and say, all right, you know, defeating this giant is obviously going to, you know, restore and give glory back to God. But who do I need in my life? You know, God gave us this church, not just TLC, but the church, other believers, who we need to depend on. So, I challenge you to write out a list of what's my giant? How is it tormenting me? And how do I need people to come in alongside? And, man, go find a couple people and just be vulnerable. Giant, I'm $20,000 in debt. I'm, you know, whatever it is. My wife, I can't even stand to look at her anymore. You know, we're on the brink of divorce or... man, I'm sure there's many different things out there.
Those are generic examples, right?
Generic examples. Yeah, those are the two I keep giving as generic examples.
Okay, cool. Just making sure that was generic and not personal examples. Let's go ahead and just put that out on the table right there. Cool. Great job. Good generic examples that anyone could
relate to. Yeah, listen back. Chris, you know, Chris gave a lot of them. Just think about what people... Yeah, you need to fight alongside of you and fight the battle with you and for you.
Yeah, so to wrap this up, I just want to say that, first of all, if you've listened to all of this all the way through, thank you.
I'm sorry.
Thank you, and I'm sorry. But let us know what you think. There is a link that we'll put up on our... anchor.fm website, that if you have any questions, like, going into next week, I don't exactly know who I'm going to have as my person that I'm talking to next week.
Surprise.
It's a surprise. I'm going to give you a hint. He is an elder chief among men.
His name rhymes with Phil.
Phil B. but that's not completely sold yet. I don't even know if he has the time, but I'll be talking with someone, and we'll be able to answer any questions that you have. If you want to leave us encouragement or tell us, like, please stop making these, go ahead and put that on, and you can leave a voicemail, you can email us. We'll give you all that information on our Facebook website, our Facebook page, and but yeah, thank you so much for listening to this, and have a great week, and thank you again.
Thank you, guys.